Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All right, welcome into Fesco and Dusty on a Wednesday here on 96.5 The Fan. Mac Morey, executive producer, Bob Fesco, executive radio host, me, somehow got in here. I almost didn't make it in today.
Oh, boy. Really? Rough night last night for you?
No, not really. I'm always honest. I'm always an honest person.
Sure. Gotta
be. Last night hit me in the heart.
Last night sucked big time.
Last night hit me in the chest.
Yep.
Because Reagan's was solid.
Really good.
I mean,
what more could he have done, right?
7 innings, stranded runners. And then
got out of a rocky first.
The realization on my face after the second time that one thing had happened, I realized Detroit basically said to the Royals, we ain't pitching to Bobby Witt Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll let anybody else beat you, even your Hall of Fame catcher, Salvador Perez, try to beat us. And it didn't happen because zero offense and zero attendance from the Crown Club.
Right.
According to the text line. One guy was extremely pissed at people in the Crown Club.
God, if you're coming to Vern's text line after a game mad at the Crown Club, you know it didn't go well last night, huh?
Right. But
why are you mad at the Crown Club, sir?
No, but look, I try to be, and I still am. This is still a playoff team. I understand they've lost two to Detroit, and last night was one of those games where it was a double-edged sword, right? Like, or not a double-edged sword, just a double blade. Detroit beat you and Minnesota won.
Yeah.
And both those teams are the only two teams that are really on your tail. I know there's people below Detroit, but let's be honest.
I don't think Seattle's taking care of business. They got waxed by the Yankees last night, 11-2. So I'm not too worried about them. Yeah. Boston pretty much has given up on the season. It's Detroit, Minnesota. That's it. Detroit, Minnesota, and Kansas City are the three teams competing for the final two playoff spots.
And now when you look at the standings, the Royals have a game and a half lead on Minnesota. And they have a three-game lead on Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And then you do what everybody else does, at least now. You scoreboard watch and you future watch.
That's
right.
And
what I mean by future watch is you look at what the matchup is the next day on the mound. And for those of you that are all in the same boat on this ship that we consider that is the Royal Cruise Line continuing to cruise, it has not sank yet. It only sinks when your season is officially over.
Right.
And you look at today's matchup, and on paper, you tell yourself, okay, it's Alec Marsh and it's Skubal. And you go, oh, God, you've lost the first two where you had your aces on the mound.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if everybody looked at this series ahead of time, they said, yeah, Mize is okay, but Cole Reagans is one of the top three pitchers in baseball, maybe top five pitchers in baseball, at least this year with strikeout rate. Innings pitched, numbers-wise, I think now he's 11-9 still. He didn't get a decision last night at all.
I don't even think you need the numbers with Cole. He's just one of the best in baseball. You know when he's pitching, you got your best chance to win, right?
And then you look at the first game, which was like Lugo.
Yeah.
And the score line in that game was completely opposite. So that gives me a little bit of optimistic point of view that that means the Royals win today 10-0.
Yeah, no, that's the type of game that this is. You know, Cy Skubal on the mound. I think he's still leading the world and everything when it comes to the pitching side. He's the guy that you look at. You're scared today as you're waking up this morning going, oh, my God, we're going to get swept by the Tigers. But No, these are the type of games that the Royals find a way to win, right? Like, you have the Cy Young Award winner out there. You have one of the best pitchers in baseball out there, and you find a way to beat him. And it's a desperate time now for the Royals. I mean, this is a vital game today, and I know we'll talk to Q coming up at 9. He won't say it's a must-win game or anything like that, but we've got ourselves 10 games to go in this season. The Royals have a magic number of 8. At the end of the broadcast last night, Ryan said on Sunday, going into the game against the Pirates, the Royals had a magic number of 8. It's still 8. I mean, they've lost 3 in a row right now. And I have a friend of mine that works in baseball who's been saying for weeks, he goes, I don't know if the Royals, there's no guarantees they're making it into the playoffs. And I'm like, oh, they're going to make it into the playoffs. No big deal. And then you see these last 3 games. I mean, this is what a pennant race feels like. This is not the ebbs and flows of May or June or anything like that. This is reality now. And the Royals have to find a way to string together a couple of wins so they do ensure themselves a spot in the playoffs and ensure themselves the ability to take all of this pressure off of everybody, because after today's game, they have an off day on Thursday. Then they open a 3-game series with the San Francisco Giants, who just beat Baltimore last night by a score of 10-1. And so the Giants come here, and Detroit then goes to Baltimore, which is a major series when it comes to the playoff race, right? You've got Detroit and Baltimore for a 3-game weekend series, and then the Royals finish it out with Washington and Atlanta, both on the road. Washington's a young ball club. They're playing pretty good for a young ball club right now, and then Atlanta's right in the middle of a pennant race as well. So you got to find a way to take care of business, you know, over these next 4 games that are going to be at home. You got to find a way to clean up, because don't look now, Detroit finishes the season at home against Tampa, and then at home against the Chicago White Sox. And at that point in time, do you really think the Chicago White Sox have anything to play for? They need to find 5 more wins, so they're not the worst team in the history of baseball. But it's not about everybody else right now. It is about the Royals. And I think you brought up a good point about Bobby Witt Jr. and the 3 walks that he had last night. Detroit is playing smart baseball. They're not going to let Bobby Witt Jr. beat you. Until you can prove that somebody else in that lineup can consistently beat you, Bobby Witt Jr. is not going to have an opportunity to beat you. They're going to take the bat out of his hand. And quite honestly, Dusty, I'm surprised it's taken this long into a season before teams started to do that. And let's say the Royals do finish this thing off and make the playoffs, which I believe that they will do. I think, and I hate saying this because we use it a lot during football, but I think Detroit is laying out the blueprint for everybody right now on how to take care of the Royals. Find a way to just be consistent against their starting pitching. Don't fall behind against their starting pitching. Don't let Bobby Witt have an opportunity to pretty much swing the bat, throw every pitch all over the strike zone, and intentionally walk the guy. Make somebody else in that lineup beat you, and then capitalize in innings 7, 8, 9 when the bullpen comes in. Because even last night, our guy, Dust, like Urseg, he wasn't any good last night. He was good in the 9th, but then the 10th inning happened, and then, you know, all the wheels fell off the wagon. So I think we're seeing the postseason format to beat the Royals when they do make it into the playoffs, and that is, don't let Bobby Witt beat you. Make somebody else beat you. And that 5-9 in the lineup, maybe 6-9 in the lineup right now, really isn't getting a whole heck of a lot done for you. And you've got to find some other guys that are going to produce in the lineup. Because if you're relying on Bobby Witt to be the guy now from an offensive standpoint for the rest of this season and into the postseason, I think we're doing it wrong, because I don't think teams are going to allow Bobby Witt to have the opportunity to go out there and beat you. They'd rather put Bobby Witt Jr. on base than put him in at the plate with the bat in his hand. It's almost like the Barry Bonds treatment of years ago.
I mean, when you're the best player in the league, you're not going to get hardly anything to hit.
Right.
And I mean, that's why I think you've seen an uptick in stolen bases. I don't necessarily think that Bobby's like, oh, I want to be a 30-30 guy, which, by the way, first ever.
Congratulations. Yeah. How awesome was that last night? Like, I mean, the night was starting out pretty good, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, MVP caliber season. I think he is the MVP of the league just because of what he means to his team and the actual acronym that is MVP, most valuable player. I mean, Soto also has 40 home runs, yeah, by the way, right, in that lineup in New York.
Yep.
And you look at what Bobby's done since Vinny's gone down.
He's Soto also has 200 now for his career, which, how did that happen? That was fast.
I mean, he's been in the league since he was 20 years old and hadn't slowed down since he got the call up.
And he has never been a free agent until after this season.
And he won't be. He'll get locked. Well, I guess he will be.
He will be.
Yeah, he's going to get locked up somehow. But again, like, you look at last night, and that's the thing. It's like, I love to be the optimistic one, but I've also got to, like, you know, be
check
real.
Reality. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, I watched, you know, like we always do. I sat in the living room, had a little bourbon on an ice, watched the game, and told myself, I hope they win this one, because it set up the way that they should have. And extra innings, the guy on second, I just always assume that guy's scoring.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I do too. I feel that way. And I like that. Yeah, I think that's fun. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, this guy's going to score because all it takes is a base hit or a sac fly to get him to third, a sac fly or a bunt to get him in.
Right.
And it's like, okay.
And it's
here
over.
We go.
Like you move the runner over. Like right. That's where I would be. You know, like you don't try to play for the big inning and extra innings. You just try to play for a run and score that first run, right?
And that was what was unfortunate because that was the first at bat and only at bat that Bobby Witt Jr. really got a chance to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, grounds out to short and the guy's unable to move over.
Right.
And after that, I told myself, well,
it's probably not going to happen.
Now
today.
Sal's definitely not getting anything to hit, but he's going to swing at whatever he gets because he's going to try to make the game tied. And, you know, they ended up getting two runs in that top of the 10th inning off of Irsig. And then it was, you know, and even that inning start, you know, guy on second. Then it was, you know, line drive to third or whatever, you know, how it went. But
yep.
That one stung. That was a...
Well, that bloop shot in the 10th inning, the drop
brutal,
in. Like, when you have things like that happen, you just got to kind of chalk it up to the competition. Be like, all right, fine. And then that Matthews kid out in center field making that play.
Yeah,
what
that
was
play
it,
was
the sixth inning or whatever it was. It looked like the roof was going to come off Kauffman Stadium, and he makes that play, and you're like, oh, my God. And then he gets the big hit in extra innings to win that thing, basically, for Detroit. That was his game. That was kind of his coming out party last night. So there were some great plays that were made last night by the Tigers, but the Royals offense has got to start coming alive. Like, this was the best team in baseball, Dusty, with runners in scoring position, right? And from an offensive standpoint, they were leading baseball. They were hitting over 300 with runners in scoring position. I don't know that they've gotten a hit with runners in scoring position since last week, it feels like.
I mean,
even last week, they were struggling a little bit, right?
I mean, Bobby hit a grand slam on Monday night.
But that's been it.
And I mean, they had six runs because I think Melendez got on third. They knocked him. So, I mean, they had six runs on Monday night. They had one last night. And the difference is Bobby Witt Jr., bases loaded, you don't have anywhere to pitch to him, grand slam.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Bobby Witt Jr. coming up with nobody on front of him because Tommy Pham right now is in a slump.
Right.
And Tommy Pham, that's why when we were talking about this game, we were talking about this team earlier a week ago, they were rolling because Tommy Pham was rolling.
Right. He was rolling.
And
yeah.
He is an underlining subject because you have to have somebody get on base in front of Bobby.
Absolutely.
And I do see people on the text line. They're like, well, doesn't it make sense that Bobby Witt Jr. hit third? No, if it made any sense, you'd have Bobby Witt Jr. lead off.
Lead off, yeah.
And I'm not saying that that's what I need to see him do because I think Tommy fans had not had enough time to really kind of tell you, like, no. But we've said all season, when they miss Vinny, the opposite effect to keep this thing rolling is to have somebody on base for Bobby Witt Jr. You have to put somebody on first base because putting two on with nobody out is much more dangerous than putting Bobby Witt Jr. on with one out.
With one out,
and
yeah.
Saying, all right, Salvador Perez, do what you think you can do.
Maybe we can do ghost runners in every inning now and just put somebody on second base to start every inning.
And Sal's a .275 hitter this year. He's done fine. 20-plus home runs, 100-plus RBIs. The thing is that last night the reason that it stunk and it hurt and it sucked is because both of your big starter starts got wasted. Last night, Bobby Witt Jr. was not going to get pitched to. Like, the crowd's clapping that he's getting on bases or walking him, but you're not seeing the real story.
A win right now for the opposition.
Right, and I will literally ask Cotrero when he joins us today at 9 o'clock, I'll ask him, like, are you starting to get the sense that people are just like, we're not pitching to Bobby Witt, we're going to let everybody else in your lineup beat you?
Yeah, and that's where these guys have to look inside themselves and say, all right, they're not letting Bobby beat us. Who's going to be the guy in this locker room that's going to step up and come through with the big hit when we need it? Who's going to be the guy that rises to the level of where we are right now? And that's 10 games to go and a magic number of 8. Like, they've got the opportunity to still do this thing, no question about it. But some people are going to have to start performing. Some people are going to have to start stepping up, and really who it has to be, it has to be the bullpen. We can't continue to waste starts like this, because if you waste starts like this in the postseason, then by October 4th, we're home and we're focused on what's going to happen in the offseason for the Royals. And I don't want to do that, right? I want to see this team make a nice little postseason run, but they've got to find a way to get consistency out of the bullpen and consistency out of the lineup from guys not named Bobby Witt. And right now, that's just not happening. And you got Scooble going tonight. And as you mentioned, and I kind of feel the same way, I think they beat Scooble tonight, but we've seen stranger things happen. But if you lose three straight to Detroit, sit and have that off day. That off day comes at a really bad time tomorrow, right? Because everybody's going to be walking around thinking, oh my God, the world is caving in. You need that next day, and you need those San Francisco Giants to get in here and hopefully have an opportunity to beat them. They're out of the playoff race, but again, they won 10-1 last night over Baltimore. So maybe they're a team that's trying to play spoils. Who knows? But it's not about everybody else. It's about you right now, and it's about you making the right pitches and you getting the timely hits, and that just hasn't happened in this series against the Tigers, and now it's getting a little dicey, my friend.
You listen to Fesco and
I'd rather have this, though, than not talking about it at all, so I'm good.
Fair enough. Coming up, we'll go down a trip down memory lane on the other side because you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
We're back. We're streaming. We're live. We're on the air. Everything's great, minus my heart attack almost last night, but it's fine. I'll be fine.
You'll be all right. It'll be fine.
Everything's
fine.
They'll
be Scooble today, and you'll be fired up. They just won the World Series again, so good. That'll happen.
Yeah, that Royals game last night was 1,000% when you get the text from the girl that says it's fine. You're like, is it?
Is it, though? Is it? I'm a little nervous.
I'm going to believe her, I think, but maybe not.
Little nervous about what's going on, but we'll figure it out. It'll be good.
Right.
They'll beat Scuba today, and everybody will be good going into an off day. Unless we're not.
But, day by day.
Yeah, just got to take care of business, man. We're about your own house, as they like to say, right?
Yeah. Control what you can control if we want to keep doing cliches.
What's another good cliche?
You're only as good as you were today.
Yeah, as good as the next day's starting pitcher. Oh, it's Scooble.
Okay. Now we get the Cy Young to avoid a sweep.
Yes.
It's going to be fine.
It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Like today. We're here till 10 o'clock. Everything will be fine. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
And you said we're streaming again. The cameras are working today, huh?
Yep.
Came in and just unplugged something and plugged it back in. I guess Cody never thought about that part of it, but anyway.
So we were being sabotaged.
I believe we
were.
Right.
That's right.
So, yeah, we're up and running. You can see our pretty faces. Hi.
Would that be the irony of doing a song for Cody called Sabotage? Like doing
by the Beastie Boys?
Yeah, except have it just be cameras and Cody?
Mm-hmm.
That's hilarious. He just didn't want us on here.
That's exactly what it was.
I'm kidding. He works his ass off for these things.
Oh, yeah. He really does. Like every morning he's in here trying to troubleshoot this kind of stuff, right?
Right.
I'm like, God, what are you doing, man?
Speaking of troubleshooting, Isaiah Pacheco, not going to be on this team for at least what we know now, according to some, could be 6 weeks.
6 weeks is what I'm being told for Isaiah Pacheco, which brings you to week 9 against Tampa for a possible comeback. Now, as you know, with anything, it's just an arbitrary number, but that's kind of what they're looking at right now. 6 weeks for Isaiah Pacheco, which, based on what happened, the man broke his ankle, essentially, right? To only be out 6 weeks and to come back and play in the NFL, that's pretty wild, right? Like, that's like magic healing almost.
I'll believe it when I see it.
And that's kind of where I am, too. Yeah. I'm like, 6 weeks seems very quick to come back from this ankle. Do you think he plays in that game against Tampa in week 9?
If I had a deck of cards in my hand, let's say if it was, you know, blackjack, and I had 16... Stay.
You're staying at 16.
I just would stay where it's at. I mean, again, here's the other thing, too. Say the Chiefs are 7-1 going into week 9.
You're not rushing them back.
You know, it's like, hey, man, we'd love to have you, but why don't we wait until we absolutely know for a fact you're here, which could be a possibility. They'll play a big one in Atlanta this Sunday night. Some nervous Nellies out there, but one thing that was official yesterday is that Kareem Hunt did officially sign with the practice squad yesterday after his workout with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, and you know, his workout with the Chiefs, you know, they say he looked good from a physical standpoint. It's the stamina that you have to work on now with Kareem Hunt, because I think, you know, again, Kareem Hunt falls into that category of we know the name, we expect him to be good, and that's just not going to be the case from the start. Like, if you're putting Kareem Hunt in your fantasy lineup this weekend, put down the drugs, okay, and take a break a little bit.
Not
because
on the active roster.
Yeah, exactly, right? But there are some people who believe that his name is Kareem Hunt. I know that name. He's going to be a big impact. He's also closer to 30 than he is to 25 at this point in time. But this is a guy who hasn't had OTAs. He has not had training camp. He's not had any games. He has not done anything football-related since the end of last year, right, which was January, whenever the Browns finished their postseason and their season. We're 10 months, basically, removed from the last time this guy had any sort of football activity. So he's not ready for football. few weeks on the practice squad, maybe, I don't know. And you know, Carrington and I were talking yesterday on his show, and he goes, what do you think? Would you be surprised if he played this week in Atlanta? I go, I'm not surprised by anything in the NFL anymore. Nothing will surprise me if Kareem Hunt goes out there. But the expectation level that you should have for Kareem Hunt is pretty simple. Don't have any expectations for Kareem Hunt. Then you won't get yourself all worked up when Kareem Hunt doesn't do a whole heck of a lot. But if he does something for you, they're like, all right, he exceeded, you know, expectations. You know, you don't always get a great player either when you bring somebody back to your organization. He was great in 17 and 18 until he, you know, had to leave here in Kansas City. That's 6 and 7 years ago. Guys age rapidly. They age quick. They age overnight in the NFL, especially at that running back position. And so Kareem Hunt is not the same guy we remember here in Kansas City some 7 or 8 years ago. Remember when the Royals brought Soria back and everybody got excited and that didn't go so well in 2016? That's kind of where we are right now. Like, having these reunions, this is I don't want to say it's a desperation call, but it kind of is. I mean, it really is. I mean, you've got your star running back with a busted up ankle who's going to be out 6 weeks. Your backup running back is on the non-football injury list for 2 more weeks. He won't be back until week 5, and they are expecting Clyde Edwards-Helaire to come back. Your next best running back, P. Ryan, is 40 days younger than what Kareem Hunt is, and then you have Carson Steele on your roster. So is it desperate times? A little bit, I would think, right now for that running back position in Kansas City, but it doesn't mean Kareem Hunt's going to come in here and all of a sudden be this great football player. So just temper your expectations, and if you do that, you'll be fine with what Kareem Hunt brings to the table.
Yeah, I thought the wild stat yesterday was from our new Chiefs contributor, Josh Briscoe, said Samaje Perine is 41 days younger than Kareem Hunt, and he's 29, and Patrick Mahomes is 20. They're all 29, but we look at Patrick Mahomes as like, hasn't even entered his prime yet. Yeah. We look at Samaje Perine and Kareem Hunt, we're like, God, these guys are old.
These guys are old, but that's the position. Right. You know? Yeah, they protect the quarterback in this league. You can't touch the quarterback. They don't get hit. The running back gets his ass beat on every play, whether he's blocking or out for a pass or whatever, carrying the ball. Like, those guys get their ass kicked. It's and I was talking to somebody in the league yesterday about this. I'm like, running backs, man, and the response was like, yeah, no doubt. These guys just break down fast. They hardly ever make it to their next contract. If they do, they end up like Christian McCaffrey. They get hurt all the time. You've got to just constantly stay fresh and young at that running back position. And if you can draft one in the 6th and 7th round every year and get any sort of production like you did out of Isaiah Pacheco, then you're going to be ahead of the curve. It's just such a tough position to maintain in the NFL right now. So we'll see, you know, where this running back position goes and what they decide to do. That's why I think this week in Atlanta, I think this is the coming out party for Travis Kelce. I think this is going to be the week where all the folks who are saying Travis Kelce is washed and he's no good and all this kind of stuff, I think this is a big week for Travis Kelce. I think they get him involved early and often in the game plan.
I think with Kareem Hunt, it's one of those things where it's a wait and see, which lets me know that the Chiefs aren't in a desperate move right now, because I think it will just be a running back by committee.
Yeah.
For those of you that are fantasy goers, 9 o'clock Sunday morning, Mac Morey will get you taken care of, and I'm sure he'll address this situation because, I mean, I know it's Saquon Barkley and it's the Eagles offensive line, but I don't think the Chiefs offensive line is any worse, or maybe they're a little bit better. But obviously it's Saquon Barkley, but he was able to do his thing against Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Like, he was, you know, moving down that first drive. Obviously he had the drop at the end of the game, which was crucial, but
you think the Chiefs O-line's same with the Eagles?
I think it's in the same category. Okay. I know the Eagles offensive line is great, but where they kind of probably evened it out is that Jason Kelce retired and Creed Humphrey is now
What don't you like about the Chiefs offensive line? You scared about the left tackle? Yeah. Other than that, though?
Left tackle isn't awesome.
Big issue there. Right. Yeah. But no, I think that, you know, it is going to be a running back by committee. I do expect P. Ryan to be the lead guy, at least, to take the bulk of the carries. But like you said, this is a game where we've talked in the beginning of time of this season, which is weird to say that, but since the beginning of this season, I have said
way back 3 weeks ago
that you will see a different style of offense week in and week out, that they have three different styles. They had last year where it was like, you know, it got to a point where they lose to the Raiders last year on Christmas Day, which is what last night's Royals game felt like. Like, is this what it feels like to be depleted? Maybe. But also, you know, maybe this is a game where it's like, you know what, Mahomes, we're going to need you to throw it 40 times. Atlanta's got a good offense. This could be a shootout type of game. I love the over in this game. The spread is now 3.5 Kansas City. And I, you know, maybe you're right. maybe this is the game where it's like, all right, Travis, this is what your role is now. When we need you, we're going to use you.
Right,
and when
exactly.
we don't think we need you as much, we're going to, you know, we're going to load management you.
And I'm good with that.
And I thought I saw.
I think I like the way that you use that word too, load management. Like, yeah. they're not saying that, but that's clearly what they're doing with Travis where Kelce.
It's like, hey, weeks one and two, we had Xavier Worthy week one, which basically like cinched that game. And then in week two, we just used Rashee Rice deep. And then we just kind of used Isaiah Pacheco.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Pacheco's out, so that strategy's out the window. So now what is it? Okay, we're going to go back to our old school offense when we had Tyreek Hill here. We're going to have Xavier Worthy be an outside guy. We're going to have Rashee Rice run the middle routes. And we're going to have Travis Kelce do that. Or it's going to look like that Juju Smith-Schuster offense they had a couple years ago when they won the Super Bowl against Philadelphia.
Right?
Where it was like, all right, Travis and Juju, you just run the middle. Somebody's going to be double coverage. Somebody's not. And we're just going to pick them apart. And then, boom, we'll hit you somebody else.
And that's the thing, too, though. They've got so many more options now than they did after that Raider game, right?
Right.
Like, after that Raider game, they still didn't have any wide receivers. So they went back to Travis Kelce, obviously, in the playoffs and had the nice run. And they ended up winning a championship because of it. But I think this team is better equipped to overcome the loss of Isaiah Pacheco right now than, say, if we lost Isaiah Pacheco a year ago. If we lost Isaiah Pacheco a year ago, we'd be going, oh, my God, now what are we going to do? But you have Xavier Worthy. You have Rashee Rice. You have Travis Kelce. You mentioned Juju Smith-Schuster. He didn't show up in that game against Cincinnati.
Well, he shoved a guy to the ground.
Yeah, right. But he didn't like contribute in that game. Maybe this is a week we can rely more on him. But I do think this is the week that Travis Kelce gets going, and I think he has one of his patented Travis Kelce type of games. And I think they're going to need him to have those type of games. So they're going to work him more into the game plan as we start to move forward, you know, in this season and try to compensate, if you will, for that loss of Isaiah Pacheco. But it's not like we're relying on, you know, Bryce Young or Caleb Williams or somebody who stinks to go out there and try to win your football game. We still have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid back there with really good weapons on the outside at the wide receiver position. And so I think they're going to be fine. It'll be a little bit different than what we've seen over the last couple of weeks, but I think they'll be fine with having Pacheco out. They'll figure it out. That's the best part about this team is they know how to figure things out.
Do you think, if you were to guess Kareem Hunt's availability for the Chiefs, do you think it's Chargers week or do you think it's after bye? Because I was thinking last night after reading everything and looking at all the, you know, the numbers, I'm like, okay, practice squad, no OTAs, no training camp.
Right.
This is a team that those two things are very vital with Andy Reid, like the stamina of this team. And yeah, you might be ready to go and in shape for football, but you're not in Andy Reid shape. And I was wondering to myself, I'm like, okay, let's say you take care of business in Atlanta. Say you take care of business against Harbaugh and the Chargers. Mm-hmm. Get the bye week.
But they have one more before the bye, right?
Is it that? That's right.
Is it,
it's a week six bye.
It's a week six bye. So who's the fifth game of the season? So you've got three more games before the bye.
Okay.
That seems a little bit long.
Okay.
Because I think.
But that would still be
Saints, that third game.
So that'd be a big game,
yeah,
right?
Could be, yeah.
That's a Monday night game,
yeah.
And that's a game where, that's at Kansas City,
that's right?
Right
here.
So
yeah.
Mac will be really tired on Tuesday.
Right.
But let's see what they do, right? Like you have Mecole Hardman, who could be an issue. You have Xavier Worthy, who could be an issue again. Like we've seen that they use him in a handoff role. And, you know, Cincinnati was a team that gave up a lot of yards on the ground. Atlanta gave up a lot of yards on the ground. I don't know if necessarily you see that. You know, we'll see Patrick Mahomes in a dome where he does quite well.
Right.
And you're playing a game where the over-under, I think right now, is 46 and a half, 47. Like I said, I think this is a shootout. I think this is a classic 2018 type of Chiefs game where, yeah, the defense is a lot better, obviously.
And who were the running backs back then, right? Ware and West, right? They didn't have running backs back then when Patrick Mahomes was putting up 50 a game, right?
And he's just going to sling it. And I think that's what we're going to see this week. I think it's going to be one of those games where, look, the first 2 weeks for Patrick Mahomes haven't been great. He was fine against Baltimore, obviously. But the game
was not good against Cincinnati.
And I think that's okay to admit.
Yep.
He didn't have a good game. Not every game is going to be great.
Right.
And, you know, the league of Patrick Mahomes.
I know some people are like, I can't believe you said Patrick didn't play good. He didn't.
Right.
He'd probably tell you that, too.
Right. But, you know, look, you got Atlanta. You got to move on. And it's, you know, as cliche as it sounds, it's the next man up.
Next man up. And we'll see what happens. And the next man up in this offense with this organization since Andy Reid has taken over has been pretty damn good, right? Like, has there been a next man up other than Kadropius that we looked at and went, oh, God. Like, other than him, every next man up has been a really good producer. And you come in on Monday like, God, I didn't see that coming from that guy. So maybe it's maybe it is P. Ryan this weekend who steps it up. Or maybe it is Carson Steele from that running back spot that that steps it up and plays big this weekend. But it could be Travis Kelce. And if I'm a betting man, I'm kind of putting my money on Travis having a big week this week, because these guys know how to play when it matters. When they need to play their best, they play their best, and they never seemingly suffer a letdown because somebody got injured.
There are strolls down memory lane that you can take, because you don't always get to play in the NFC away games. So this is first time in a while. The Chiefs have been in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to Mac yesterday, and us being two nerds, I'm like, man, do you remember that 2016 game when Eric Berry basically said, I'm going to call a game? And I thought to myself, that was the best we ever saw Eric Berry.
48 seconds remaining in the half. Atlanta has the ball at their own 25. Ryan out of the shotgun, fires it over the middle, intercepted by Berry. He's at the 25. Eric Berry from Atlanta at the 15, the innovative 10, 5, touchdown, Kansas City, born and bred in Atlanta, Georgia, and now he goes the distance on a giant mistake by Matty Ice Ryan, who gets thawed with the pick six near the end of the second quarter.
Okay. I thought there was more to that.
I thought there was, too.
Coleman is the running back. Now Ryan will throw, it's intercepted, this can be returned for two, this can be points for Kansas City, it would get Kansas City the lead, it's Eric Berry, 40, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5, it is a two-point conversion the other way for Kansas City, the first time in Chiefs history, the Chiefs have pulled it off, and the Chiefs lead 29-28, Eric Berry, who went through cancer treatments not far from here at Emory University, just picked off the Matt Ryan pass and returns it 102 yards for 2 points, and the Chiefs lead 29-28.
Chills.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody else.
Cool moment.
I was at that game.
My legs are, the hair on my legs is standing tall, and that to me is one of the greatest moments we've ever seen the Chiefs have in Atlanta. I'll have another one here in just a second, but I remember that game.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that game very distinctively. And that was one of the first times in a while where I had gotten older in life and our buddies were watching the game. And it was one of those, like, you've seen the memes that they have where, like, they put just a random thing on a screen. It's like a bar. Everybody starts throwing their drinks in the air and going
nuts.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, that was that game, because that was the Eric Berry that, like, we had all known that was going to come. And probably the peak of his career. That was a year where he almost won defensive MVP.
Yep.
That was the time when the Chiefs defense was electric. And they were waiting. There was just something there. And that was, I believe, Alex Smith, right? Obviously, because it's...
Well, 2016, right? Yes. Yeah, so that was the Bob Sutton era defense, right, too, which people don't forget or try to forget, I guess. Bob Sutton's defenses were pretty damn good those first couple of years he was here in Kansas City.
And I thought that that game was interesting, and it was one of the ones that I remember the most in Atlanta, because obviously you can hear Mitch his call. So many great one-liners there. Matty Ice has been thawed by Eric Berry. And then, like, obviously knowing, like, every detail about every player on the roster, about how he had cancer treatment in Atlanta, just down the street from home, you know, raised and grown in Atlanta, and Eric Berry had a coming out party. I remember his mom got the game ball.
Got the first one. Dad got the second one.
And then, you know, like we said, the 2-point conversion pick, 102 yards, the pick six on Matt Ryan, who I believe was MVP that year. It was next year. But it was crazy to think about what Eric Berry was that time. And then you think about that moment in Atlanta, and then it was this moment that was the foreshadowing of one Patrick Mahomes' career.
Four-man rush. Mahomes holding it. Looks to throw it long. He's going to throw it long. Gunning it for Tyreek Hill on the near side. Tracks the ball. Caught it. Touchdown, Kansas City.
And Mahomes hit Tyreek Hill deep over the top in that preseason game. And it was like, we've got to wait a year for this.
Yeah, right.
And I remember just thinking to myself, like, oh, my gosh. What are we thinking about the future here in Kansas City if he can do this? And everybody was like, well, pump the brakes, Dusty. It's preseason. It's not starting defense. Let's just see. I'm like, yeah, but that's Tyreek Hill, the starting wide receiver of the offense.
Yeah.
This is Patrick Mahomes. And at the time, the biggest debate was, who is Alex Smith going to be able to throw the deep ball? Kind of gun shy. Here's this guy coming in, trying to prove his worth. And he hit Tyreek over the top. And I think everybody at that moment was like, holy smokes, this team is about to be in good hands, because if Patrick Mahomes can do that, what else can he do?
Well, and then it also led to the best season Alex Smith ever had, right? Like, everybody gives Alex Smith all this credit for Patrick Mahomes. How about the credit Patrick gets for having Alex Smith kind of get out of his shell a little bit? Because that was the year, and I think Alex has told this story before, where he said, F it, I'm just going to go out here and sling this thing around, because he had nothing to lose, literally had nothing to lose, because he knew he was done at the end of that season here in Kansas City. It was just a matter of where they were going to trade him once Patrick Mahomes took over the reins. And so he just went out there and slung it that year, and I thought Alex Smith had himself a hell of a year. The Eric Berry stuff to me is really interesting, because I don't know that there was a worse ending of a career for a star athlete in Kansas City than we saw for Eric Berry. And that's not a shot at Eric Berry. That's just the way things went down. After he beat cancer, his priorities changed dramatically. And I don't blame him, right? If you beat cancer and you kick cancer's ass, you probably are thinking a little bit differently about life and what matters most. And you played long enough in the NFL, you made your money, you probably weren't as focused and as driven to continue to do great things in the NFL because, hey, I beat cancer. I've had, you know, my run. I'm ready for something different. And the career ended really with that New England game, the AFC Championship game. That was Eric Berry's last performance here in Kansas City. But that was a really bad year for Eric Berry, because every Monday he's telling the team he's going to get ready to go. And then Friday's like, I'm out, and they've already made the game plan up. And I think it really rubbed people the wrong way. And so I think it'll all eventually heal itself. But Eric Berry just kind of stepped away from the game, did it in a way that you probably would like to have seen him do it better than the way that he did that, a little bit more forward to the team and telling them what was going to happen. But again, the guy beat cancer, and I'll never hold anything against him because he didn't feel like playing football anymore. I just wish he would have been more open and upfront with it. But the ending wasn't great with Eric Berry, but man, he was a hell of a player. I'll never forget the day he was drafted. We were doing a show, some golf course, and they drafted, you know, Eric Berry that, you know, the night before or whatever it was. I'm like, God, a safety that high? Oh, I don't know.
Excited.
And then he turned out to be one hell of a football player for this team. He falls into that DJ category. You wish he could have gotten a ring with this organization too.
That's right. I remember the song Eric Berry.
Very scary.
Yeah, he's just Eric Berry. He's like, Eric Berry.
And then he was
Eric
afraid Berry. Of the horse.
Yeah, didn't like horses.
And then had Hagelin's disease, which is very annoying. It's Wednesday, and this poll question comes from one Bob Fesco. So you can go over to the Fan 965 on X. It is very simplistic. It is a four-question poll. Which time slot is the best for an NFL game? Is it noon? Is it 3 o'clock? Is it 7:25 on Sunday night, or is it Monday Night Football? One of those four.
And you can't say all of the above, Binkley.
Yeah. Who will join us next on the other side? Jay Binkley will join Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
That dude was high on something.
He was high on college football. College football with Binkley. Let's throw in a chalk, talk some ball with Binkley. Knows college football better than his own family. College football with Jay Binkley. Got the chaw in, wearing them short track style shorts.
I heard he almost played football in Nebraska.
He used to call Bobby Bowden and ask for football informational nuggets with barbecue sauce.
Jay knows more about high school football than you know about your family.
B-Dub.
Call Jay Binkley.
Call Bink. College football with Binkley. Let's throw in a Charles Johnson ball with Binkley. Knows college football better than his own family. College football with Jay Binkley.
That's right. We go to our guy, Jay Binkley, who joins us on this nice, dark, and early morning on a Wednesday. Binkley, did you go out last night and see the moon?
You know what? I decided no.
No. All right. I didn't go either, Jay.
You don't like seeing a full moon?
I do, but my wife came home about 8 o'clock last night from another event we were running around to, and I said, is the moon out? And she goes, yeah, it's huge. And I'm like, cool. And then I didn't go out and look at the moon. I went and watched the Royals game. So anyway, I did miss the moon last night, Jay. And one local team missing the college football season. I guess, again, there were two. It's Missouri and Kansas State right now. Let's start where the carnage is with the University of Kansas. They just, you know, don't look like a good football team. Did everybody overshoot Kansas on this one?
Yeah, I think so. And it's got to be wildly disappointing as they're trying to, you know, raise a little bit more money there for that stadium, and you know, all the excitement of, you know, playing at Children's Mercy, then playing all those games that they're going to be doing at Arrowhead Stadium and Kansas. You know, people talking about them. Maybe can they win the Big 12? Well, it was all on Jalen Daniels, the quarterback, and he's got six interceptions through the first three games, and that set him back. I mean, they put all their hopes on their quarterback, but losing their offensive coordinator that had been with Lance Leipold the whole way from Wisconsin Whitewater to Buffalo to Kansas, that made a difference. When he went to Penn State, this made a difference with the Kansas offense. They have a great defense. I think they have the two best cornerbacks in the Big 12, and Melo Dotson and Kobe Bryant. Devin Neal, one of the better, you could almost say he's top two running backs in the Big 12, and Jalen Daniels was going to be that piece, and it's just not coming together, and some of the coaching hasn't been that great either.
Bigley, how about my boys in Colorado, though? They're 2-1, and it looks like they might have a little secret defensive weapon.
Yeah, I think so. And I think a lot of people, you know, once that Nebraska game, because it's like the annex of Shedeur Sanders and stuff like that has rubbed people wrong. But the one thing is people are still watching it. People forget that Nebraska-Colorado game was number 2 in the nation in television ratings, so people are still watching them. Yeah, they're still fun to watch. I still watch them. You know, I want to watch them every single week and see what happens.
I mean, you watch anything that's on TV on a Saturday that features a pigskin, right?
But there's something going on in Colorado, though, that I don't think people are paying attention to. They're different, just kind of like USC is different. The defense is actually decent at Colorado. Don't forget Nebraska did not score in the second half in a game against Colorado. Matter of fact, they've only given up 12 total points in the second halves of all three games. That's pretty good when you think about Colorado and that defense last year and how bad it was to only give up 12 points in three games. Pretty good. New defensive coordinator comes over for the Bengals. He was with Anarumo with Cincinnati as a secondary coach for 9 years, first year at Colorado. I think that's making a difference. And if they can just do that, they have no offensive line play. We know that. That could hurt them. That will hurt Colorado going down the stretch. And they have no running game at all, but they do have Travis Hunter, the best player in college football.
Yeah, he absolutely is. There's no question right now. And you talk about great players. One guy that I'm starting to fall in love with right now, Ryan Williams at Alabama, Binkley, 17 years old. This kid can flat out play. I want him to be a Chief. I think they should draft him tomorrow.
I wish they could tomorrow. I 100% wish they could do that tomorrow. But, man, 17 years old, usually playing high school football still, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's been a superstar already for the Alabama Crimson Tide, which they haven't lost a beat going into the SEC with a new head coach and whatnot. What about Missouri? They had a tough one against Boston College. Is that more who Missouri is, or are they more the team that didn't give up a touchdown for the first two games?
Well, eventually they were. The opponents weren't great the first two games. The mere fact they did not give up points is pretty big, but playing Boston College, that was a tough team. At Thomas Castellanos, the quarterback of Boston College, is a very good quarterback. And Bill O'Brien's, you know, NFL experience. Also, he was very good when he was at Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
But Missouri's defense still did just enough in that game. And I think this defense will come together. And I think, listen, they're missing their Blake Baker, that was their defensive coordinator last year, who went off to LSU. But offensively, they've got stars in the making. Nate Noel, that running back. Marcus Carroll, that running back. Of course, Luther Burden's going to do what he wants to do. And I think Brett Norfleet has become a very good tight end for the University of Missouri. But that was an impressive win. I think that was the most impressive win out of the three local schools, even though Kansas State hammered Arizona.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Boston College, I think, is a legit team.
Pico, we'll give you a couple more because we gotta get out of here, but it's not because it's just the clock. You know how that thing rolls.
I do.
Arch Manning, 67-yard touchdown run. Quinn Ewers obviously got hurt. Obviously, he'll get his job back when he's ready to go. Is there any update on that injury or what we're going to see for Texas, who's now the number one team in the land?
Yeah, he might not play this week. It looks like Quinn Ewers is still going to be top 10 draft pick in the NFL, and I know everybody's excited about Arch Manning. He did have 4 touchdowns passing. He did have a 67-yard touchdown run as well, so it's a Manning that can actually run. 5 touchdowns for him, and everybody's real excited. And his Heisman odds even went up like 12th, which is ridiculous because Ewers is going to be that quarterback. But I think people are forgetting that Quinn Ewers, before he got hurt, was 14 of 16 for 185 yards and 2 touchdowns. It could just be their opponent sucked.
Yeah, but I'm kind of with you on that one.
Sucked.
I mean, I can you cut that, Mac? I do believe that Texas is the most overrated college athletic program on the history of the face of the earth of all time. They are number one right now. Who's the real number one in college football, Jay?
Texas.
You know, I still think it's Georgia, and I know it was, they win by just 1 point. I was asked about that in the pregame show with Art asking, should Georgia fans worry about it? And I was like, no, because then the Chiefs go through the same thing later that day. I'm like, good teams find ways to win, but great teams find ways to win consistently. And if Georgia wins by 1 point, I don't care. I mean, you've seen the Kansas City Chiefs, as great as they are. Listen, back-to-back Super Bowl champions, Georgia's won 2 of the last 3 national championships. A 1-point win is still a 1-point win on the road in the SEC. Georgia is still the best team in the country.
And it doesn't matter. You don't need style points anymore because we've got a 12-team playoff. So, you know, you just got to go out there and win your games and you'll get in.
Bigley, my last question is, why is the nickel defense more valued than the dime defense? Because a nickel is less valuable than a dime.
You know, I've always wondered that too, Dusty, because, you know, 10 cents is better than 5 cents.
Mm-hmm.
One thing about it, though, it also, you got to think about it. Why is it larger, too? Like, why is the nickel bigger than the dime?
Well, that's the mold that they use to make the coin is bigger.
I know, but the dime is almost too small. I sometimes I don't even realize I have one like in my pocket or something because you can't really feel it. It's so small.
When was the last time you had a dime?
Legally.
I used a dime the other day, to be honest with you. I used like a collection of like 3 dimes. I was ordering something. It was like 37 cents or something. So I reached into the change drawer and pulled out 3 dimes.
Nice.
3 dimes, a nickel, and 2 pennies.
Wow, that's great. Sounds fantastic.
Sounds like a great good sense order. Binkley, we will talk to you and listen to you on Thursday night, my man, and continue to listening to the Character Concerns podcast. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, my man.
All right, guys. You take care.
That's right. The Character Concerns podcast is up. Chris Unocero had one up yesterday, so you can download that on the Odyssey app.
We're late to a break, but I don't care because I got to let the people know. They said, who wrote that song? That is the old number 5s.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the sweet sounds of Brock that you heard on that voice here on Beagley's intro. But coming up on the other side, we get back to our poll question. Plus, we get to your text line answer, 913-586-7965. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.